We pray this morning, Lord, that your will be done, and that, Lord, you would give us what we need. We know, Father, that your word says that you meet every need we have. Father, we're asking that you would do that and do it abundantly, that, Lord, that you would also deliver us from chains and shackles that our minds and our hearts and our emotions are part of, Father. Take away those things, Lord, that hold us captive, Lord God. You know what they are, each and every one of us, Father. We're going through this channel of life, Lord, that only you, Father, is the compass for us. You are the solid rock, Lord, that we want to stand on and need to stand on. So, Lord, let us have more faith today than we had yesterday. Let our faith increase, Father. So give us more and more faith. And let us have a heart of loving and thanksgiving. Let us be thankful, Father, even in the little things as well as the great things, because, Lord, you are the giver of all things, Lord God. Let us look at our loved ones in a different way than we looked before. Let us treat them, Father, with love. Let us treat our neighbors with love. Let us be a loving being, Lord, that you called us to be, because, Lord Jesus, you died on the cross for all of us. Amen. So, Lord, we thank you for that, and we praise you. Bless your holy name. And may your will be done in this call. May everything that will be done and said will bring you glory, honor, and praise. And every soul that hears this message today, Lord, would be blessed and delivered. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to be back in Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
And, Lord, I'm asking you to bind every distraction and every spirit of retaliation that may be attempting to retaliate this morning.
Yes.
Bind it in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, rise and come forth.
Yes.
Fill me, Lord, with your anointing, and let the words be yours, not mine.
Yes, Lord.
But whatever is bind it, Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
Bind it, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Mm. Somebody's not happy this morning. Okay, who joined us? All right, we're going to be in 2 Samuel, and we're going to start at the first, but before we go there, 2 Samuel chapter 24 is where we're going to be, so you can find that. Well, I'm going to go over some things that we are going to skip over. I want to talk about the couple of chapters that we're going to kind of roll over. One of them is talking about these men, mighty men of David, and it lists them, and it lists where they're from and what their feats were and how great these men were. Like, one of them killed 800 men in one day, and he had fought so valiantly that his hand was stuck to the sword by the end of that day. And I want to bring up that he also mentioned Joab's brothers in these valiant men, that there's four of them. They say three, and then they add one, making it four. Joab's brother Abishai was mentioned, and so was his brother Asael, who had been murdered by or killed by Abner because he wouldn't leave him alone. But they were mentioned as mighty men.
Mm-hmm.
What it was most interesting to me about the mighty men, and there's four that stand out, and then there's 30 of them total that are, every one of their names is recorded here, whether they killed Goliath's brother or some of the things that they accomplished. But what stood out to me was in all of these mighty men mentioned, Joab was mentioned as the brother of Abishai, and he was mentioned as the brother of Asael, and yet he was not mentioned as a mighty man. I found that very interesting. Now, remember, Joab had killed people he had been asked not to kill, starting with from Abner to Absalom, for crying out loud, to Amasa, who was supposed to take over his job, and he kills him too. And maybe that is what eliminated him because he would not have been the captain of the guard if he was not a mighty man. But sometimes I think that we can forfeit our own inheritance by some of the things and the choices that we make. You may have been very successful in this, that, and the other, but you were not able to hold it due to decisions that you make. Some things that we do are so, they so unravel everything else. Let me give you an example. Or let somebody here give me an example of what that could look like. How could a deed that you do unravel all of the better things that you've done?
You do something.
What could that look
like?
When pride enters. Any deed.
I'm thinking of someone who pays somebody's rent, let's say, for 2 months, and then that's fine, but then they go and tell everybody that they did it, and, you know, wanting more accolades for doing something nice, and it humiliates the person.
That's a great example, and yes, that's pride again, and it does unravel the good work. So there's lots of examples of how we can unravel our inheritance. I was watching something. I was clicking through channels or something, and I stopped somewhere for maybe 2 minutes or five, whatever it was, and an angel in this particular old Turner Classic movie was coming to Earth to help a man. And one of the things he asked, they said, oh, well, he did all these good things. He helped this person, helped that person. One angel asked the other angel, did he tell anybody about it? Wow. Because when we're doing things for the right reasons, you shouldn't feel the need to tell people about it. As soon as you start telling people about it, it's because you're after pride, is rising, and you're after glory that belongs to God. Well, in Joab's case, apparently the murderous deeds that he did, his disobedience to the king, seemed to eliminate him from being one of the top mighty men of David. He was the captain of the guard a very long time. So just something to glean there. Meanwhile, David gives a very long praise of deliverance, and that's in chapter 21. Feel free to read it yourself. He talks about he's my rock, he's my salvation, he's my stronghold. Now, we talk about strongholds two ways. We talk about a stronghold when it's in somebody's life and they're trying to break free of it. But when David is talking about a stronghold, he's talking about a safe place where he was able to live and survive, and that, as we talked about clefts in the rock, that if you're in a cleft of the rock, it's very hard for someone to come up and get you without you hitting them in the head and knocking them back down, because they have to climb up that cleft to get to you. So that's a stronghold for David. He says God is his stronghold. We have to understand and realize God is our stronghold. He is the barrier behind and in front of us. And in that barrier that he makes, it's very difficult for the adversary to penetrate. Now, does the adversary penetrate? Sure, he gets in here and there, gets his little arrows in, gets his little darts in, his little discouragement sneaks in under the battle lines. But God is our stronghold. And in whom shall I fear? So David talks about this. He gives from chapter 22 all the way through chapter... through chapter almost all of 23. And then it's going to name the mighty men of David that I just talked about. So read that when you get a chance. Read 22 and 23. And just feel David's heart. Feel David's heart. David's heart. I cannot stress enough the importance of thanksgiving. Not just from a parent's point of view, where a parent says, well, if you can't be grateful, I'm not going to give you any more. But just that God delights in a grateful heart. And you're going to see that manifest again later on. Okay, we're going to run up to David's chapter 24. And Terry, would you start there?
Okay, I'm reading out of the New International Version. David counts the fighting men, 24. Again, the anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and he incited David against him, saying, "Go and take a census of Israel and Judah." So the king said to Joab and the army commanders with him, "Go throughout the tribes
Terry,
of Israel." Yes?
You
yes?
are kind of muffled and not loud enough.
Okay, let me turn up my speaker here. I think it's as loud as it can. Yeah. Oh, let me do it this way. I took the speaker.
That's much okay. better.
Okay. Again, the anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and he incited David against them, saying, "Go and take a census of Israel and Judah." So the king said to Joab and the army commanders with him, "Go throughout the tribes of Israel from Dan to Beersheba and enroll the fighting men, so that I may know how many there are."
Stop
but Joab
there.
Replied to, okay.
We're going to stop there. First of all, I want to urge you that when you're reading the Word of God, there are a lot of places that you can get an opinion of something that's not accurate. By the way that the narrator or the penner of this was. And if it's inconsistent with what you know about God, I want you to keep looking. Kind of dig a little and see, that's interesting that it would say that, because here, for example, again, the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, and he moved David. Did God move David? If you read that, you're going to get the impression that God incited sin. Does God incite sin?
No.
Why would he say, "Lead us not into temptation"? Why would we be praying, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," if the very one we're praying to incites it? So on that note, Tammy's going to go over to 1 Chronicles 21, and I'm going to have her read 1 through 6.
Okay. Satan rose up against Israel and incited David to take a census of Israel. So David said to Joab and the commanders of the troops, "Go and count the Israelites from Beersheba to Dan. Then report back to me so I may know how many there are."
Okay. We're going to come back and get back to 6. This is the same account. Understand that 1 and 2 Samuel is an account. And then we have 1 and 2 Chronicles, and we have 1 and 2 Kings. And these are also accounts of some of the same events. So as Tammy just read, it's the same event, only it says what? Read it again.
Satan rose up against Israel and incited David to take a census of Israel.
Satan rose up against. Okay.
Wow.
So how do we come to terms with, in Samuel it says that the Lord, or he moved against David. Again, the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel, and he, meaning the Lord, moved David against them to go and number. Okay. Line it
okay.
up, and you're going to find some inaccuracies. The Lord does not tempt us to do evil. So the accurate account of this is that he allowed Satan to tempt David.
Wow.
Not that he tempted David, he allowed Satan to tempt David. Where else did we see this?
Job.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Job. God allowed Satan to tempt Job to sin against God. God allowed it.
Mm.
Why does God allow such a thing?
To tempt?
Why does God allow, let's bring it home. Why does God allow you and I to be tempted?
To test our faith.
To purge us of things
faith.
That are not godly. To purge us?
She says to purge us.
I say to show us that we're dependent upon the Lord, because if it's left up to us, we would just fall away by our nature, our desired natures.
Richard says to help us not fall away.
Well, no, it's more like, you know, we can become so thinking that we can do it all, and that I can stand on my own feet, so I can stop sinning anytime I want to, and which in reality, he shows us that we just can't. And so when we're tempted, we are prone to go that way because of we're fleshly beings. And it just shows that we need God every day to help us and keep us on track, because we can't keep ourselves on track.
Right. Okay. Anybody else?
Amen.
Why is there any other reason you can think of why God allows us to be tempted?
Because he loves us and he wants to keep us home.
What comes to my mind is because of our sin, because we don't listen. My specific example of myself was I had a situation with my son, and where the enemy was just attacking me through my son. And afterwards, I prayed, God, why did you allow this? I knew that he was allowing it, but I didn't understand why. But it was to help me to let go and to not continue in what I was doing, which was holding on to my son. And it was to let him go. So basically, I wasn't listening to God. And so he allowed something to happen to me to basically scare the pants off me, because I thought I was going to die. So, of course I repented, because it's like, why did I let it go so far? But, so that's my example.
So I'm going to pull it together. God allows us to be tempted so that we can see what's still in us.
Wow.
That's
wow.
Why he's allowing it. Because otherwise we run around clueless. Mm-hmm. And when I say clueless, a lot of sin has a way of subtly entering in.
Mm-hmm.
They're uncorrected thoughts that you don't even recognize was a thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen.
So temptation shows us we're not where we thought we were, and then should cause us in our fall to reach out. Hey, Lord, I didn't know that ugly thing was still in me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that I had this, that, or the other. But when you fall and you fail, that helps us to recognize. So Satan is allowed to tempt us. With Job, because Job was a story that has come up many times, and we did a series on Job. And in that series, I found out what was the problem. I'd never seen it all these years. I wondered, why did all of this, why was it so severe with him? Because Job was a righteous man. And the Bible said Job was a righteous man. And God acknowledged Job was a righteous man. Then what was the problem?
Pride.
And even though it didn't sound like it, but when we went into Job, when God spoke to Job came back and said, whoa, well, I'll just put my hand over my mouth. I guess I'll just stop talking. And we identified that's not an apology.
Exactly.
That's not an apology. That's, hey, okay, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Lord continued to speak. And I was, and in that Bible study, we talked about, well, why would God continue to speak? Because he clearly wasn't repentant yet. Up repentant of what? Judging God. So there was something that was being dug out of Job, but it took severe circumstances for it to come to surface. Often with us, it may take severe circumstances for it to come to surface.
Yes.
So here we are with David having an issue, and the Lord allows him to be tempted. Just because you're tempted, does that mean you fall?
No.
We overcome temptations all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But God said he was angry with Israel. Part of that was that they were doing things again that they ought not. And so he was angry again with Israel, and he's allowing Satan to tempt David in an area that God knows he will not prevail. See, God knows when we're not going to be successful in a trial. He knows that. He knows when we will fall to temptation. He knows this. So he's angry with Israel, and he's going to let Satan tempt David, so David will be a hand used against them. I want to ask, what's the big deal? I want Terry, will you please read verse 2 again? Only verse 2.
So the king said to Joab and the army commanders with him, go throughout the tribes of Israel from Dan to Beersheba and enroll the fighting men so that I may know how many there are.
Go down to 3.
But Joab replied to the king, may the Lord your God multiply the troops 100 times over, and may the eyes of my lord the king see it. But why does my lord the king want to do such a thing?
The king's word,
however, overruled Joab and the army commanders, so they left the presence of the king to enroll the fighting men of Israel.
Okay, right here. Joab, in other translations, will say something more on the order of, why would you do this sin against God? Can somebody, does anybody know why numbering the people was a sin?
Because you become the, I can only guess, I don't know why, but I think the reason is because you can only become, you become dependent on your numbers and not God.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very close to the right answer. Very, very close. When we have, we will be drawn away and forget that it is God that is winning the battle, whether it is one of you, 300 of you, or 300,000 of you. When we take our focus off of what God is doing. Now let me talk about, what does that look like? That looks like when you have a big, fat bank account. And you lose sight of God is the one providing for your needs. You think your money is providing for your needs. And you feel, I don't even have any needs. I got a half a million or, you know, 4 or 5 million in the bank. What we're seeing here with David is this is the army of the Lord. And the Lord gets credit for his army. Big or small, he gets credit for the army. So numbering the people was offensive to God. And David seemed to know that, or it would not have been considered a temptation. How are we often, or how are we sometimes tempted in the same way?
Well, when we don't have enough money in the bank, just the opposite.
Amen.
When we don't have enough money in the bank. And we're wondering, how I'm going to get this, and how I'm going to meet this bill. And Lord, you go out and you search, you do things you're not supposed to, just to try
to
get it.
So true.
That means your eyes are not on who is your provider in the first place.
Amen.
I want to give you guys a little
something that just, I know it must be Holy Spirit. If we can learn to be grateful in all of our circumstances, whether there's money in the bank or not, but we know that our hope is in Jesus Christ and that he will provide for us, and be grateful for whatever he provides is enough, because it's what he said is enough.
Yes. Amen.
Oh, but I have an income of, well, I guess it's like $500 a month right now. Well, God said it's enough.
Amen.
Well, Gideon is getting ready to go into battle against thousands and thousands of troops. And God said you only need 300 men. How 300 men supposed to take down? Because you don't know what God is going to do. You don't know that it's not going to be a case where all of a sudden they hear chariots coming and they all run off. God's done it. You don't know if it's going to be a situation where all of a sudden you look and the men are fighting each other. God's done it.
Preach it.
He only needed 300 men just to pick up the spoils.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what God's plan is and what he's doing. But what he expects from us is to trust him.
Mm-hmm.
David's saying, well, let's just see how many men we have. Because it does what? Boosts his faith in the army instead of boosting his faith in God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It doesn't matter how many men you have if you have God. David, the man who every time we were reading, and David inquired of the Lord, and David inquired of the Lord, and David inquired of the Lord. What happened to that? So now why are you out there checking behind God to see what you have and what you don't? But Joab, the same Joab, Joab is an interesting fellow here. One minute he's killing the king's son after being ordered not to. And then you have Joab reminding David what is right and what is not. What did Joab say? Why are you doing this? Do you, with God, it's 10,000 times whatever number you come up with. What are you doing, man? Why are you doing this? Would you rather have God fighting for you or just the number you counted?
Mm-hmm.
How? So David goes ahead, he does, and he does this. Terry, continue from verse 5, please.
After crossing the Jordan, they camped near Reor, south of the town in the gorge, and then went through Gad onto Jazer. They went to Gilead and the region of Tatum, Hachi, and on to Dan, Joah, and around toward Sidon. Then they went toward the fortress of Tyre and all the towns of the Hivites and Canaanites. Finally, they went on to Beersheba in the Negev of Judah. After they had gone through the entire land, they came back to Jerusalem at the end of 9 months and 20 days. Joab reported the number of fighting men to the king. In Israel, there were 800,000 able-bodied men who could handle a sword, and in Judah, 500,000. David was conscience-stricken. After he had counted the fighting men, and he said to the Lord, I have sinned greatly in what I've done. Now, O Lord, I beg you, take away the guilt of your servant. I have done a very foolish thing.
Let's stop
before
there for
David,
a second.
Mm-hmm.
Notice, David's heart condemned him after the sin.
Wow.
How often do we get pitted into doing something we shouldn't do, and then we live with, oh, here comes the guilt and the shame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why doesn't the adversary offered guilt and shame up front.
You wouldn't have any customers.
Exactly.
Nobody followed that trick.
No. So we
That's
have
what the Bible says.
David does this, then he's immediately condemned. Now he has to go to the Lord. Oh, Lord, please forgive me. I've sinned against you greatly. So he understood how great a sin that that was.
Mm-hmm.
He understood it. To us today, and we say, well, what are you saying? Checking our savings account is a sin?
Mm-hmm.
No. Well, it might be for you. It might be.
Mm-hmm.
Because it depends on why you're constantly checking it and where your heart is in the matter. But is counting your army a sin? Not necessarily, but it was for David. And David understood that. What I'm getting at is what how God deals with each of us is very, very individual.
So true.
Again, another reason why we have to be so careful when we're condemning this and condemning that. Because what you're condemning that you might see in somebody might not be something God is even holding their feet to the fire about at this time in their life.
Amen.
As I've said before, you don't know where a person's come from. Why they have arrived someplace that you think they're not far enough. So what they're being held accountable for is not, you might be just being held accountable to not be judging them. Oops, there it is. So David's heart condemns him. He goes to the Lord, and now he's falling into the hands of the living God, which the Lord wanted to deal with the people anyway. So let's see what happens. Terry, continue.
Before David got up the next morning, the word of the Lord had come to Gad the prophet, David seer. Go and tell David. This is what the Lord says. I am giving you three options. Choose one of them for me to carry out against you. So Gad went to David and said to him, shall there come upon you 3 years of famine in your land, or 3 months of fleeing from your enemies while they pursue you, or 3 days of plague in your land? Now then, think it over and decide how I should answer the one who sent me. David
okay,
said to
hold
Gad,
on. Hold on 1 second. This, I just want to point out that this is a common way that God has dealt with people throughout all ages. When there is sin in the land, it is going to be usually war, famine, or
Plague.
War, famine, or pestilence. Let's take a look at our nation right now.
Plague.
War.
Yes.
Famine. And pestilence. Uh-oh. Doesn't that kind of maybe sort of indicate?
Yep.
You can go all throughout these scriptures and you're going to find that when they have been in violation of God, it's been war, famine, or pestilence, or all three, or some of.
Wow.
This is the tools that God uses to get a nation's attention. So as you'll notice, there was so many times that they were dealing with one of the three or all of the three. So let's see what David decides. By the way, I want to point this out. Gad is a seer or a prophet. They're synonymous. They use the same word for both. When you call out to God, and this is in the Old Testament, you say, well, when I call out to God now, he answers me himself. But sometimes he still will send a prophet. And look how quickly he sends a prophet to answer David. The person that
has the gift of prophecy, does not have to know what you did or your circumstances mm-hmm. for God to tell them, go tell this person that.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want you to bear that in mind. Keep reading.
David said to Gad, I'm in deep distress. Let us fall into the hands of the Lord, for his mercy is great, but do not let me fall into the hands of man. So the Lord sent a plague on Israel from that morning until the end of the time designated, and 70,000 of the people from Dan to Beersheba died. When the angel stretched out his hand to destroy Jerusalem, the Lord was grieved because of the calamity and said to the angel who was afflicting the people, enough, withdraw your hand. The angel of the Lord was then at the threshing floor of Arunah, the Jebusite. When David
okay, hold
saw
on one
the
second.
Angel.
But one second, Terry. Behold. I'm going to say something.
Right?
How do we see when David says, it is better that I fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, but don't let me fall into the hand of men.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we can see with war what he's talking about. Can you see it with famine?
Yeah, it's what Richard said. Don't let me be in the hands of man. I'd rather be in the hands of God. Don't let me... It's the same as counting the soldiers. Right?
In part. But what he's saying is that in famine, what's going on in this country right now?
Food is being blocked. Mm-hmm. Shipments are being delayed. People are dying of the bacteria, the virus, and we're spending money going into debt because of the war.
So two of these, the famine and the war will be however these people end up treating. And David is saying, I don't want to be stuck in the hands of my enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Pestilence is one thing that God controls. He can control how many people live or die.
Mm-hmm.
But famine, mm-hmm. again, you fall back into the hands of men. Why are you back in the hands of men with famine? Because they can gouge.
Mm-hmm.
They can put a hardship on the people. Mm-hmm. They can cause starvation in your camp because they cut off food supply, or they make it so high because you don't have food that they charge you so
exactly.
much. Where was an
okay.
example of that? Where did this happen before?
In the World War II.
World War II,
oh.
but I'm talking about biblically.
Oh, yeah. oh.
Biblically, where did this happen?
Joseph.
With Joseph.
Joseph.
Exactly. What happened to the whole world as they knew it? People had to come and sell their donkeys, sell their cattle, their. Then I got to come and sell the little bit of food that did come up this year. Then I got to sell myself
mm-hmm.
into slavery.
Mm-hmm.
So the king was able to take your land. He was able to take, and he was gouging.
Mm-hmm.
They had all that grain saved up from the 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
But they gouged mm-hmm. the people till the people had nothing left. This happened before mm-hmm. David's time. David knows how bad that can get.
Mm-hmm.
So David says, let me fall into the hands of God and see what God will do. And then David is allowed. He sees an angel. So those of you who may have a gift of prophecy, David clearly had it, but God still sent him another prophet to tell him something. Interesting. So he sees an angel, and let's keep reading.
When David saw the angel who was striking down the people, he said to the Lord, I am the one who has sinned and done wrong. These are but sheep. What have they done? Let your hand fall upon me and my family. On that day, Gad went to David and said to him, Go up and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Araunah and the Jebusite. So David went up as the Lord had commanded through Gad. When Araunah looked and saw the king and his men coming toward him, he went out and bowed down before the king with his face to the ground. Araunah said, Why has my lord the king come to his servant? To buy your threshing floor, David answered, so I can build an altar to the Lord, that the plague on the people may be stopped. Araunah said to David, Let my lord the king take whatever pleases him and offer it up. Here are oxen for the burnt offering, and here are threshing sledges and ox yokes for the wood, O king. Araunah says, All this to the king, gives all this to the king. Araunah also said to him, May the Lord your God accept you. But the king replied to Araunah, No, I insist on paying for it. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing. So David brought the threshing floor and the oxen and paid 50 shekels of silver for them. David built an altar to the Lord there and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. Then the Lord answered prayer in behalf of the land, and the plague of Israel was stopped.
Okay. So I want to go and deal with a couple of things here. First, remember when David started out and he went up against Goliath?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He was totally dependent on God to take out any enemy of his God. And it was just a young boy against a giant. When David had so many victories, it was easy to get to a point to start relying on
self.
And what you have, what you've attained, how mighty this army looks. And he's slowly taking his eyes off God. I've been in that situation with money. When mm-hmm. I first got started in the business, I had to rely on God to have Taco Bell for dinner for me and my brother. I said, well, if we just get one haircut today, we can go to Taco Bell. Lord, will you send one haircut in today? But eventually, business did well. God blessed me as he has blessed David. And there was more money than you ever thought about needing. So what happened to my prayer life? I really wasn't communicating with God very much anymore, because what was the need? Yet when I started out, I would ask God for you know, a whole $7 so David and I could both have Taco Bell. We won't be hungry. Then we'll start again tomorrow and see what God is willing to do. And God knows I had a $195 car note too. So one of these days have to be really good, where I'm like almost $200. We take our eyes off of God sometimes in our blessed season. And then we just rely on his blessings, and we forget from whence they came and what they really look like. Well, where is David now? Back on his knees. David is back on his knees. Lord, please be merciful to the people. They're not responsible for this. They're sheep. And let me say this. I think David's recognizing something here. He's calling them sheep. Well, if they're sheep, who was their shepherd? David.
He was.
David was the shepherd. So David is saying, if they're sheep and I'm the shepherd, hold me accountable. Mm-hmm. He's also saying, it's bigger than this because I've experienced it. David is also saying, when the shepherd is off course, mm-hmm. it affects the flock.
Amen.
If the shepherd has taken his eyes off of God and is now counting the army so he can, you know, feel comfortable relying on the efforts of the people to win the battles, don't really need you, God. We've got over 300,000 people now. Mm-hmm. But thanks. Thanks for helping me out in the beginning when I needed it.
Of course, we never really say that, but it's just that our action shows that.
Exactly. A lot of us will still parrot all the right things because it has become our tradition almost. It's our way to parrot, well, God has blessed us with this, or God has blessed that, or, oh, I know God's got this. But really, it's my bank that's got this. Because if that bank was taken away, then what would you have?
Right. Oh, my goodness, don't do that.
Well,
make it happen.
Don't do that. Just on that note, that may very well be something a lot of us will be facing. And then
Are
you'll
prophesying?
See. I am.
Yeah.
We are going to face a day when your dollar is not going to be enough.
Amen.
You're going to face a day where you're going to have to make a decision. Do I rely on God or do I go with the way that the world has taken us and just get the chip and just cooperate and I'll still have my money?
Yes,
Lord. We're going to face a day where you're going to have to make that decision, and you need to be grounded now.
Yes,
Lord. You need to understand that it's not because you have 500,000 people in your army that you're going to win a battle. You will not win a battle without God.
Amen.
Amen.
And I don't care if you have millions in the bank or millions in your arsenal. You cannot win the battle without God. So you better choose God today. You make a decision on where you're positioning yourself now, because when the storm comes, it's going to be very confusing. It's going to be very deceiving.
Amen.
Yes.
Praise. If you haven't identified the way it's going to look, you won't recognize it when it's too close. It's in your face. It's kind of like forest and trees. You won't be able to recognize it. Glean from David today that our eyes must stay focused. We must end up back on our knees so that he can speak to us.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
So that we'll know where our hope lies.
Yes, Lord.
These things are getting ready, are going to fade away. Most of us will be looking at that. Everything that you thought was going to be there, that you set your life up, will be squeezed right out. David, when he comes to the Lord and he repents and the people are dying of this plague. Oh, did I say people are dying? You mean the people you just counted? Uh-oh, army's dwindling rapidly and you're not even in a war. So he comes and he comes to this man's threshing floor, the land the man owns. And the man says, oh, you're King David. Take the floor. It's all yours. And anything you need to sacrifice, I got it right here, sacrifice. But what does David say? I'm not going to come to the Lord with a sacrifice that didn't cost me anything.
Wow.
What does that say to us when we're coming before the Lord and we're making a sacrifice? Don't come at him with something. He's not, God is looking right at you.
Come on. Yes, you are, Lord.
Don't give him something that doesn't mean anything to you.
Amen.
Give him what matters. Give him the honor he deserves. And then see what the Lord will do. I've got to stop there because we have communion today.
Okay. That's good.
So I'll give you guys about 2 minutes to try to grab some bread and some juice or whatever you can get. God will honor it.
Amen. You know, there seems to be, while people are getting their communion elements, it seems to me like I get a gray area between the scripture that tells us not to worry about tomorrow or grieve of yesterday, but focus only on today because we don't know what tomorrow will bring, versus, now, with that in mind, focusing on today only versus where much is given, much is required, because we are supposed to be responsible for the things that God has given us. Yeah, a good steward.
A good steward. He tells you to study the ant, who stores away for the future. So how do you reckon with that? You put it together. We're not supposed to be worried about tomorrow, but you should also prepare for tomorrow. You don't have to be worried to prepare.
Well,
you don't have to be worried
together,
to be a good steward. He says that tomorrow has evil unto itself. So with all of your efforts, tomorrow can still go awry.
Right.
But at least you did your due diligence and prepared for tomorrow. Then tomorrow it all goes away. But you shouldn't be worried about if it all goes away. You should be prepared. How are you prepared? You are prepared because you have learned to depend on God. You have not lost sight of all that you're even preparing. God is in control. And you trust him that whether you have a bank account or whether you don't, he's still going to take care of his people in the time of his coming. He's going to. But do your part. Oh, be wise like the ant who stores away for the winter. All summer, he's gathering for the winter. Be wise. Be frugal.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But worry shouldn't be, and your dependence shouldn't be on what you have in the bank. It's nice to look
care
okay,
of
well,
what you have
I,
in the
I
bank.
I did my part.
Mm-hmm. I think about all the people in Ukraine that what they have in the bank they can't even get anymore.
Gone.
Mm-hmm. So there, that's such a way. It should be a wake up call for us because it can happen to us, just like it happened to them.
It's going to.
Mm-hmm.
But God. Mm-hmm. The difference that whatever this world is heading into is God.
Mm-hmm.
Is are you firmly rooted in him? Because then whether you have an account or whether you don't, it's not going to matter. As long as it's God. God will certainly... It's pleased with you being a good steward, of course. But if all that gets washed away tomorrow, you shouldn't be any more worried than the day you had it in the bank. If the bank was gone tomorrow, would you still be okay? Yes.
Yes, you would, trust in God.
Because he is the one who dispelled an entire army. Him. With one little boy and a slingshot. That's the God we serve.
Amen.
Just make sure the God we serve isn't the one in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because then that goes away, and, oh, my God, what do we do? Panic sets in.
And it shows where your trust was.
Exactly. Shows where your trust was. Okay. So Richard's going to read Hebrews chapter 10. And I just, go ahead.
Chapter 10, what, 1?
Read chapter 10 through 1 through here.
All right. If everyone is there, amen. Need a little time to get there.
Okay. Can I have that one more time, please?
Hebrews 10, 1 through 11, I think it is.
Hebrews 10, okay. Thank you.
1 through 18.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All righty. Praise be to God. The law is only a shadow of good things that are coming, not the reality themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifice, repeat endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, 1 second.
I want you to read it in this translation.
Maybe a little easier. What translation is that?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'll start over again. For the law have a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifice which they offer continuously year after year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sin every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offerings you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me, and burnt offerings and sacrificing for sins, you have no pleasure." Then I said, "Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God." Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offering and offering for sins you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." He takes away the first that he made establish the second. By that we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
What is all that blah, blah saying? Because it kind of sounds kind of a bit convoluted if you're not. He's saying that the law that was established, we're talking today about the first covenant. The first covenant was the law where you had to bring bulls and doves and whatever you had to atone for your sin. But it really only exposed that you were a sinner. Because right after you offer your bull in your sacrifice, the sin is there and the condemnation is there because you sin again. So bulls and these offerings never had the ability to take away your sin. Because you're still stuck with your sin nature. So God our Father sends his Son, the Lamb without blemish, to make
this a sacrifice that will be once and for all, that your sins are atoned for once and for all. Once and for all meaning what?
You will not be ever separated from God.
Never to be
sin
remembered.
Sin will not separate you.
Yeah.
Once and for all also includes the sin that you're going to commit tomorrow. Once and for all covers the sin that you may commit right before you die. Once and for all, sin is paid for.
Hmm.
We got a blank check.
Hmm.
And when we meet the Creator, we get to fill it in.
Hmm.
Well, you owe this much. That's what your sin costs, but you have that much because it was paid by Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
We're not going to come up short.
Thank you, Jesus.
Other than in the old covenant, what is that? The old promise that God made to the people. Well, just bring this stuff and just keep burning this, all your animals up and that will atone for the sin you've committed up to this time. But by the next morning, you've sinned again. So how is your sin ever covered? So he says, I've got a new promise. I've made a new promise. And we're covered. We have to accept it. We have to repent.
Hmm.
We do need to strive to be holy.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
For he is holy.
Yes.
But are you holy?
No.
Now I ask the next. So I said, are you holy? Everyone says no. Are you righteous?
We're only deemed righteous by the Lord Jesus.
So
only
holy by the Lord. Be holy because I am holy. Be
yeah.
holy.
So we are to be holy.
Yes. Yeah. We're to strive to be holy.
Mm-hmm.
We have to strive to be righteous.
Strive. Righteous. We have been declared righteous by the blood of Jesus. Understand, you are only righteous by the blood of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But yes, we get to be considered when we hit this time of judgment. And you stand before the throne. And just so you remember, you're standing before the throne of judgment. Not what your husband did, not what your wife did, not what your kid did. Each one of us stands on our own in front of the Master, the judge of all, in the amazing court.
Amen.
Well, we see that we have a very failed life full of a lot of mess. But would you just look up so and so's name and see if their name is in the Lamb's book? Oh, it's here. Oh, your debt has been paid in full. That's the new covenant. Your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, and I praise God for that. We should be praising Him for that.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
Lord. Well, with understanding of this gift that he's given us, he says, remember what it cost.
Mm-hmm.
Remember what it cost.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't free. This isn't to be taken so lightly.
Mm.
You say, well, what do you mean it isn't free? He said his salvation is free. Yeah, it's free, but it wasn't to Jesus, was it?
No.
It cost him his life.
Amen.
Somebody had to pay, and they paid a great price for this.
Amen.
So he says, every time you break bread and you drink together in this manner, remember what it cost so that you don't take salvation so lightly.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
So on that night, he took the bread, and he broke it, and he said, take this. This is my body, which is
broken for you. And he said, eat, all of you. And then he took the wine, and he said, this is the blood of the new covenant. Praise God for a new covenant.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And every Amen. Time you drink of it, and do this often, remember that this represents what's going to be shed tonight to permanently bring you into my presence. Release from heaven the Holy Spirit, which will soon be living in you, so that you can share in my inheritance. Did he say that? Did he say we get to share in the inheritance that he has for the work that he did for you?
Yes, he did. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
So
thank
we drink.
You, Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
And we give him praise, honor,
Hallelujah.
And glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise, honor, and glory.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, for the blood. Thank you for the blood, Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you for your willingness.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for cleansing us today. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be your name, Father.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Any prayer requests? Amen. Any sick among us? Anyone that has anything they want before we close out?
Mine
I have
has
a prayer.
Never changed. Go ahead.
Oh, your circumstances, Linda?
Yeah, it has since 2008. I was homeless for 2 years. I'm praying that God will give me double portion of home, a place that I can call my own. And Amen. My son, Amen. Craig Gear, he does not go back to church because of his brother that passed away in 2000. So bring him back to church. And that's my prayer every week.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I just have a prayer of thanksgiving. So let's pray. Tammy, would you close us?
Pray for the people of Ukraine and our leaders.
Yes, please. Yes. Amen, Terrell. Yes. Thank you.
I also like to pray for the mind of Putin, that God will deliver him from the hold of Satan and pride that has
yes.
captivated his heart.
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
That he would free Putin of his chains and his enshacklement to become a destroyer of humankind.
Yes. Okay.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, as one body.
Yes.
A body has different members, Lord, and we all unite together, Lord, to be your body. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, for the filling of the Holy Spirit in each and every one of us, Lord.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, for breaking strongholds. We thank
yes,
you
Lord.
For
yes.
delivering us, Lord, from the things that plague us and hold us down and
yes,
block
yes,
us from being able
yes.
to serve you, Lord, and to receive
yes,
your blessings.
Yes,
thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Right now I ask you, let's just release it, Lord God.
Yes,
release
Lord.
It and bless. Pour your blessings down upon us, Lord
Please,
Jesus.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you Jesus.
You, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank
and
you, Lord.
Those of us who still struggle with these things, I ask you to uncover them, Lord.
Yes,
thank
Lord.
You, Lord. I offer a thanksgiving and praise right now for you to your deliver the deliverance that you've given me, Lord God.
Yes,
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you Jesus.
Thank
the
you.
Enemy is not going to win. He's not, because God is delivering his people,
yes.
and it includes every single one of us on the call.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Right now, Lord, we lift Linda up, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
You know where her needs are, Lord. Thank you. I just ask you to cover her, fill her, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Give her encouragement, Lord, that you know and that the answer is coming and that she just must be diligently seeking you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
Cover her son, Lord. Whatever grieving he's still doing, whatever things are still just binding him, Lord, we ask you just to deliver him.
Please,
Lord God.
Father.
Turn him towards you so he can see your face and these things can be pulled
Please,
out
Father.
Of him, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus.
Please,
pour down on Linda's heart, Lord, that mother's heart. I know
yes,
that
Lord.
Mother's heart, Lord.
Yes,
and
Lord.
Sometimes we allow that heart to get in your way.
Yes,
thank
Lord.
You,
Jesus,
for
thank
our you, children.
Jesus.
And
yes,
I just,
Lord,
any mother that's on the call right now, I just ask you to just search our hearts. Help us to see, Lord,
yes,
and just
Lord.
Help us to release what we're still holding on to, Lord, that
yes.
locks you.
Yes.
Thank you from working in our children. Thank
yes,
you,
Lord.
Jesus.
Thank you,
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just fill us, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord.
Please,
Lift
Father.
Us up this day, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you. You're doing so much for all of us, Lord God, and we just thank you for that, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you for the message, Lord. We thank you for Jeanette and Richard, Lord. I thank you for using her, Lord, to reach us, Lord. And this word today, Lord, let what happened with David is not just history, Lord. It's not just the past, Lord, but it's a reflection of our future, Lord God, and what's happening to us right now. And let us
yes.
be mindful, Lord, as we lift up Ukraine, as we pray for you, Ukraine, Lord. We also need to see that we can be Ukraine in a blink of an eye. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Just help us to learn from this message, Lord, and from your word, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But we pray for those people, Lord, and hearing stories of your people who are being protected, although the bombing's going on around them, over them. They're in a bunker under some building, Lord, and you're saving people, Lord.
Yes.
You're saving your children, and we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Just you know what needs to be done with Putin or whatever, Lord. And we
yes,
just
Lord.
Ask you just to have your hand over this whole situation, Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you,
we just lift the situation up to you, Lord, and we need to release it, Lord. Thank you,
thank
Jesus.
You.
Lord, help us to keep our mind focused on what is important, which is you. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes,
we need, that's what happens to us. We get stuck. We get caught up, and it is important to be aware of things, but we need to keep our focus on him
yes.
instead of getting so distracted with the problems in the government, with the problems in the world, with our own problems
yes.
that we take our eyes off of you, which affects our trust, Lord, and affects our faith.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. I just
thank you, Lord.
Help us to stay focused,
please,
Lord.
Please,
thank
please,
you, Jesus.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You.
We just thank you for this day.
Thank
we
you,
thank
Lord.
You for the word. We thank you for your communion. We thank you, Lord, for
yes,
dying and sacrificing your body and your blood for us, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. As we take to the
yes.
communion, and we took the communion, Lord, just give us all a fresh anointing this day.
Yes,
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a blessed day, everyone. Thank you for that beautiful prayer.
Thank you.
You too. Thank you.
You
God bless you all.